This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes. We are live. It is Monday. It is the 21st January, and it is just after 6 o'clock. You wake up, you start your day, you choose something to wear, you have a shower, you find out whether or not you're ready to tackle the first day of the week. Usually you're not, let's be fair. I mean, you know, is your mic not working again?
I was going to say, and then you realize it's Sunday.
Yeah,
and then you have to go back to bed.
I got to point something out. This is just so annoying. I said to them all this morning, because we got in here now, the phone system is all connected, which is terrific. I'm so excited about this. The phones are all working. I was so happy. I said, look, now people can call us directly into the studio the way that it used to be in the old days. I'll answer your calls. There's no need for anyone else to answer it. So you can call us right now on 0861-555-189, and I'll be able to just answer it at the click of a mouse, which is terrific, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Fancy. And I said, oh, and all the microphones are working. What happens? Switch on Leanne's mic and straight away.
Maybe I just lost my voice temporarily and it is working.
No, the excitement of Monday, Leanne. It's happened to you before.
Oh, yes.
But seriously, try to call me. I want to see if this thing works. If you want to give us a call, 0861-555-189. If you're listening to us live right now, you want to call in. We've actually got Robert here. He's outside. He listens to us. He decided to pop by and give us a visit this morning. So we're going to have lots of exciting things happening.
With the first caller through, we'll get a personalized edition of It's You by C.S. Angweni.
Yes, that's right.
Email to them in MP3 format.
Yeah, that's right. We'll actually give you C.S. song.
What more could you want, really?
I mean, who doesn't want that?
Come from C.S. It'll be the first ever edition sent.
Right. So how was your weekend, everybody?
It was relaxed on Sunday, but on Saturday I worked. But, mostly family stuff, admin-y stuff. You always think that you're going to be really prepared for the next week.
But I'm impressed that you get all that admin-y stuff done over a weekend. I mean, I know people who we were in here on Saturday morning, for example. We were busy recording something, Sian and I and a couple of the other people here. But I know people who work all weekend. I mean, maybe your work is so difficult. You have so much to do. It's meant to be a weekend. You know that, right?
You have to have the down in order to keep functioning on the up.
There are these people who think that there's something noble in working the whole time.
Oh, no.
I think that can be very, very bad. It's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, the last people to think that were the Romans, really. Mm. But they were holding the whip.
Oh, and look what happened to them.
Exactly.
Well, the whole idea of a weekend only came about after the Industrial Revolution. Because people kind of just worked 7 days a week. Or they did nothing 7 days a week, depending on their social class. The idea of a weekend only became like mandatory somewhere around the Victorian era.
It was all or nothing until then.
Until then it was like, what day is it, Harry? Oh, no, it's just, I don't know, but we're in the mine as usual. Are we going to have a day off from the mine? No, only if you die.
Yeah, it was either death or dysentery or the plague or whooping cough.
Oh,
yeah. But I mean, let's not, Let's consider how happy and lucky we are to have weekends. All right, let's try this phone thing. Let's see if this thing works. All right, hello, good morning. Shit.
Oh.
Just call it. Yeah, just call again. I might have pressed the, because there's three buttons here.
Did you press hang up?
I think I pressed answer, but I think I meant to press air, because there's drop, hold, answer, air.
I'm guessing we're more in the air.
Yeah, I'm going to try air. Let's try that again. All right, so call me again on 0861-555-189. If you've got a phone, here we go. Here we go. Let's try this.
Ooh.
Good morning.
Hello,
GC. Hi. Yay! That is unbelievable. I feel like I just had an orgasm. Try that again. Say hello to us. Let's just hear if it's for real or whether you're in illusion.
All right. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's happening? Who is this?
Lubabalo.
How are you, dude?
I'm fine, thank you, guys.
Good. Happy New Year.
To people.
How long are you meant to keep saying Happy New Year to people?
I think 15th.
Yeah, like after the 15th, it becomes a bit of a problem.
You're meant to stop doing it.
It's our first live call, so we can go back 6 days. That's how the rules work.
And then there's Chinese New Year in Feb.
Do you celebrate that? I mean, are you a celebrant of Chinese New Year, especially after what the Chinese dude did to you in the lift all those years ago?
We never forget.
I don't celebrate it, but...
Hashtag never forget. Leanne was the first Me Too.
It's the year of the pig. That's what it's going
to
be.
Now, there's no need to be so mean.
Wow.
I think it's my year. I'll check.
All right, Lubabalo, what are you doing this week?
I'm working. I run a spaza shop, so I'm always, you know.
What's your best selling item in your spaza shop?
Maize.
You know, maize. Staple diet, dude. Keep so many people alive.
All people, they love maize.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. This is very exciting, though, that we've managed to get this thing working. Let me see if I press drop. Ah, he's gone. Isn't that amazing? So it works. This whole thing works. I'm so goddamn excited. After 5 years, I can just answer the calls myself.
And then you can just drop him, boot.
Yes, but Gareth, now, I hate to point this out, where is the message screen?
No, the message screen is just behind it.
It's a different tab.
There we go.
Okay, as long as you can toggle the tabs.
Oh, I can. I can even create separate ones. This is very exciting.
Look at how advanced he is.
This. I can do all of this and more, Ben.
Okay. Just checking.
My levels of cunning here are just absolutely exponential. Mm. All right. Anyway, so I saw some very funny people driving in this morning. I thought it deserved some comment because I'm sure I look funny sometimes in the car when I'm driving, either if I'm singing along to a song or I'm in deep concentration or maybe I'm I don't know. I look like I'm checking myself out in the mirror, but I'm checking the cars around me. I don't know. You do stupid stuff while you're driving. You don't even realize,
right? Just talking to yourself.
You get in your own vibe. Yeah.
Sure. Talking to myself is a regular. There are people who, this guy this morning at the stop street in front of me was vaping, but creating such clouds of smoke that when he opened his window, which he did, it looked like clouds were coming out. The clouds that cause rain. It was thick.
I don't know
how you can even see through the windscreen he was in this car with so much vape.
That's like peak masculinity right there.
Huge.
Isn't it?
And you talk about peak masculinity, then the next guy I saw coming off the Buccleuch interchange, he was going off towards Edenvale Boot. But he's a huge guy, like big, but I mean, not just fat big, like a big guy, broad shoulders, like a big meaty head, and he had this monstrous beard, but he's in the tiniest little car you've ever seen in your life. That's got to be one of the, it's comical immediately when you see that, you want to start laughing. He was in a car, you know, like a smart car type thing.
Oh, just tiny. Doesn't fit him.
And he's huge. I don't know how he squeezes in there. He must be so uncomfortable. It must be like getting economy class when you're 7 foot tall.
It's probably like butter around his door. That's how he gets in.
To help him get in, yeah.
He lathers the door up for that.
And then he runs in a bit.
I don't know how people
manage. That feels so claustrophobic.
Can you imagine? Anyway, so my little observations from this morning that I thought deserved some sharing. By the way, the message screens are working. Someone says, Crypto Tryhard says, morning. Yesterday we had the privilege of seeing Professor David Block at our church. He's such a remarkable person.
Ooh. Is he looking up to the crucifix?
I think he was, I think he is a Christian, Prof. David Block, but I think he also goes around and does a lot of these talks because to him, science and spirituality or science and religion aren't mutually exclusive. He and I had a discussion about this once. He reckons that the two can live happily side by side. And so he often will speak at these kinds of gatherings and explain the marvels of the universe. And to him, it's all very miraculous. And he thinks that that's something that he wants to share with people. And I think, why the hell not? You know? Someone else said that they're very excited to have Anthea in today. They love that. That's their favorite part of the show. So Ben and Sia and Leanne, you can go home.
Okay,
because really,
bye.
To them, it's only about Anthea.
Thanks for the message, Anthea.
Ben, what did you do this weekend?
Gareth, I probably had the worst weekend of my life.
Oh no.
Maybe you should just leave it there, I guess.
Why?
My neighbor died. Yeah, it's a very sad story.
Well, were you there when he died? Jesus, what happened?
Yeah, there's still quite a lot of unknowns, but he's sadly no longer with us.
What, had a heart attack?
Guessing so.
Sure.
Something along those lines. So it was a pretty shitty weekend.
That's awful.
But
were you like a first responder?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, it was just... Because
you live in a building, so you...
Yeah, I mean, he's my immediate next-door neighbor.
He's your next-door neighbor, and, yeah. And did you know there was something wrong? Were you just enjoying your day?
Past to go to bed, and his girlfriend was the first responder.
Yeah.
She
came knocking on your door?
Yeah, and then it was a late night of ambulances and grieving people. It was pretty rough.
How old is he?
Early 40s.
Oh, wow.
A little bit older than me.
That can be so harrowing. You suddenly think, because you'd expect it to be old people, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's the whole thing. So, yeah, it's a bit sad. And
it's a lot sad.
All my sports teams lost.
God, all right. Well, that doesn't really compare, but all right.
It doesn't, but I mean, add in, why not?
Sure. My God. All right. Well, you see, very fragile thing, this life.
It is. It is indeed, Gareth. It is. But hey, we're here this morning. That's a good thing.
Kind of puts things in perspective.
Okay.
Yeah. So no one died in your complex.
Oh, man. Knock on wood. No. I actually had...
By the way, did I get him on the death pool or no?
Gareth! No, I'm not long.
Sorry. I'm looking for some points. He was in his 40s. I would have got 60-odd points.
He is at the highest level of orcs right now. He doesn't know where to look.
I thought it was worth an inquiry. Forgive me. Okay, you know, sometimes...
Well, talking about not knowing where to look.
Yeah, okay.
I do have to tell you, you know how I seem to have taken on the responsibility, or we've all had to in my family, of getting everyone to and back from hospital.
Well, because
bonding activity. Yeah,
since your mum had her situation happen, she's been in and out of hospital and...
Yeah, she actually just went in recently for a few days for a DVT.
What's that? Is that a
deep
movie?
Deep vein thrombosis.
Oh.
One more time?
Deep vein thrombosis.
Wow. Okay.
So she has a clot in her hip area and has had to go on to what they call Clexitane and then Pradaxa, etc. And there are lots of risks associated if you've had a stroke before because it bleeds and oh goodness me. But she's as happy as anything and home and all the rest. But in the meantime, I had to take my aunt to hospital. She needed a cytoplasty, which is a bladder examination.
Your family give you no break.
No. And she also had to have a colonoscopy, which is a poop investigation.
That's always, great.
So...
Send a camera up there and check you out from the inside.
Pre-surgery, she's warned by the nurse that when she comes out, she's going to have a lot of gas.
Okay. So what, do they wheel her outside and just prod her a bit?
Wheel her out into a well-ventilated area and just leave her alone for a few hours.
So she comes out of surgery.
Is that because the camera pushes like air in there, or is it because
they actually do quite a bit.
Oof.
Now, it turns out they had to stretch out her anus a bit because it was a bit tight.
Sounds like it's very invasive, this. Do they at least give you flowers?
So, I mean, imagine all the stuff going on in there.
Do they at least buy you dinner?
They don't want to think about food after doing that.
I mean, when Elton John does that, he buys you dinner.
It's the least you could do. Jeez.
So she comes out of theatre, and I'm expecting her to be really drowsy or, you know, maybe doing something funny like swearing at the nurses.
Yeah.
But no, her eyes are huge, and she's going, I need to go to the loo now.
Oh, yeah. And you have to wheel her off to the loo?
Well, she stood up. Oh. I had to untie her, unchain her drip, and she was off with the back of the gown open.
It would have to be open. House,
that's so sexy, isn't it?
Theatre Brooks all over the place.
That's great.
Oh, hubba hubba.
And we're in a ward of two other women,
uh-huh.
And each of them has a visitor as well.
Uh-oh.
So the ward's full and it's small.
Uh-oh.
And she goes to the loo in this ward.
Oh, yeah, because it's all attached, right? Oh, God.
Well, what ensues...
Did it sound like an orchestra?
It sounded like Donald Duck being strangled. It was like for 5 minutes solid. No one
solid
knew
or,
where.
Or partly liquid.
No, for 5 minutes liquid. No one knew where to look. I was trying to. Oh. No, it was like.
Sorry, I'll try again.
Shame. In the beginning, she must have been sort of quite self-conscious.
Well,
and then she's like, oh, this is just the best thing.
This is what one would think, right? I'm doing all sorts of things to cover up. I'm coughing, washing my hands, rattling the hand towel machine.
Breaking windows.
Throwing plates.
Turning up your iPod really loud and like playing a hugely heavy metal song.
Pressing the emergency buttons, turning on the sirens.
Sure.
And she comes out. She's now toothless because her false teeth have been taken off.
Oh,
during
what a great sight with this gown after just taking a shit and no teeth as well.
She comes in. She has no idea that everyone's heard everything.
Oh.
And toothless, she grins and goes, oh, that feels better. Oh, my word. I said to her, look, I need to go for a cigarette break.
just compose
so did you
yourself.
Go and smoke in there? Just to
yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I came back and told her quietly afterwards that it was really, really loud. And she said, oh, well, at least I made you laugh.
Unreal.
That's the
spirit.
Sure. Okay, well, I mean, that's...
So if you have a colonoscopy, try and get a private room.
That's an adventure.
But I also heard it quite is the sedation vacation, though. I know of two people who've gone, and they said the drugs that you're on for the entire process.
Oh, no, she was under general anesthetic. She was out.
But she wasn't feeling woozy afterwards?
No, she had one thing on her mind.
you know...
It's quite a downer.
Yeah, I the two things that came up over the weekend, I was talking to someone about the spread of and the huge profusion of antidepressants we've got in society. Nobody ever really talks about this, and it is serious, but I mean we were laughing about it a lot of the time because some of it you just have to. It's tragic, but it gives you some pause and some ability to laugh at yourself and the rest of us. We've got a major problem. I don't even know what the statistics are, but I've heard some horrifying numbers from various research groups and pharmaceutical companies put this out, and even the medical aid companies will sometimes tell you that most of the what do they call them the kind of medicine that you have to take for the rest of your life? What do they call that?
Chronic medications.
The chronic medication that they're giving out is actually antidepressant medication.
Mm.
Like it's something like 1 in 6 people or something.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's the last stat I heard. I don't know how accurate it is or whether I'm not going to cite sources for you. I'm not a journalist, but.
Yeah, I think.
It's quite a.
I don't know if
deal.
It's something that a GP should be able to prescribe.
They can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a GP can say to you, oh, yeah, sorry to depress you, Mrs. Beasley, but here's your prescription for antidepressants.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I thought as much, says Siri.
Oh, Siri, thanks so much for agreeing with us.
She's so used to it. We're in the pharmacy like that all the time getting stuff.
Siri actually places Leanne's drug orders for her.
It's a favorite pastime.
Get Robert in here quickly before we start the news.
Mm.
Yeah, tell him to come and join us and we can find out what he's up to. He's got a camera and a, what do you call that, Ben? A gimbal?
Gimbal, yeah.
Yes, Ben has one of those.
Okay. Is it painful?
Is it the same kind of thing they used on your aunt?
But he gets up in there.
Yeah. All right. Come over to this microphone here. Come and say hello to everybody. Hey, Robert. What's up? Yeah. This is
hey.
Ben. This is Leanne. This is Sia. This is everybody else listening to us. All right. What's up there? What's going on that camera?
I'm just recording some video.
All right. What do you do?
I bought the gimbal recently, Ben.
It's very sturdy. That's the Osmo.
Yeah, it is the Osmo. Nice. So I'm busy playing around with it, seeing how well it works. I'm new at this video game.
They really are amazing. I know, like, if people look at them and go, well, it's just like holding a camera, it's not that much different. But the footage is so different.
It like pans and that, swivels and
that softness of angle.
So what does it do? It keeps it very stable,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much. And I've got the shake, so.
All right. So what are you filming this for?
Well, listen, I.
Because you came in this morning, you brought us coffee, which is very nice of you. Thank you.
It's getting cold out there as well.
And you decided to pop in and see us. You listen to the show?
Yeah, all the time.
All right.
have been for a long time, big fan. So
All right.
So I've started something new. It's a bit of a passion project, and I thought I would start it here.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't begun it yet. Today's the first. This is your virgin experience.
It is the virgin experience.
All right. Tell me more.
My virgin experience is with you.
Yeah.
Which is cool. but what I wanted to do was meet a whole bunch of South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting, some not. And I really want to just document their stories and what it is that they do. So I started an Instagram account called Selfies with SA.
Nice.
And you'll be the first picture on the account, which I'm very excited about. And then after that, I'm going to run around Joburg and meet a whole bunch of different people and just take photographs of them, take videos of them, and learn more about them.
Well, try and tell the story of what real South Africans are thinking and doing and who they are.
Yeah, really real South Africans.
Yeah, because we see a lot of bullshit people in the media, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch television or you listen to radio or you do any of the mainstream stuff, you're going to pick up on politicians and celebrities, and that's not the average South African.
Yeah, I always think like there's so many fascinating people out there. This is a really cool account because you've got endless content, and it really is. Like, this is the hardest thing about making any footage or any content, is that you'll get weeks where you're like, there's nothing, I'm bored, I'm tired.
Yeah, this will have everything.
But this is endless, and the more people you meet, the more people you end up will, you find a better profile and better people to chat to.
Yeah, so I'd like to document some people's journeys. I think the second picture will be of those guys that perform at the robots.
Oh yeah,
there's
a very good little trio up here in Rivonia Road.
A dance troupe.
Yeah,
dance troupe.
Yeah, they're on the corner of what, Rivonia and Coleraine. I think it is.
Okay, well we'll start there after here then.
All right. So you're intending to do 1,000, meet 1,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is that just like an initial goal?
Well, it's an initial goal. It's going to take a while, I think. I'm not planning on meeting 10 a day. Kind of like your 100 days to better, but 1,000 people to more interesting.
It's a great goal. And if you meet on average one a day, let's just say you can meet 250 solid in the year.
Sure.
Because you'll have days where you don't want to see people.
So a four-year project then?
Yeah, sure.
Sounds good.
Cool.
All right, you're going to be busy, and this is your spare time thing. What do you do the rest of the time?
I'm bored, actually. So I have a business. We do lighting and sound rental, and our primary product is an outdoor movie night for kids' parties.
Oh, okay.
So we set up the big screen cinema sort of situation, mostly for kids' parties, but also for public screenings and school fundraisers.
Very good. And the business is going well?
Very well, yeah.
Movie
night.
Nice, dude. Well, you see, that's good to hear, because there are a lot of small businesses that are complaining quite a lot about the economy at the moment and the fact that there isn't that much business out there and there aren't that many people who are paying and who have money to spend. But it's good. It's good news that yours is working.
Yeah, it has been. We've been in it for a while. Mm-hmm. Myself and my partner Ferdi, we run it, and we've got a few staff members that look after it, and I guess that'll give me a little bit more free time to run around and take photos for Instagram, which is a new venture for me.
Yeah, I mean, let me just explain. So Robert actually sent me a message on Instagram, and he was trying to get me to send a selfie.
I don't want you to send one. That's just a bit creepy.
Well, you did. You asked for a selfie.
I could come grab one from you.
Like, Gareth,
a selfie requires me to be in the picture.
Yeah, because there's so many selfies in your account, you can just screenshot one of them.
Well, exactly. You could have taken one of those. It wouldn't have made a difference. So I said to him, no, come into the studio instead. It makes more sense.
Good.
So here you are.
I'm glad to be here. And I brought a couple of news stories if I can partake in that as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Do you want to join in on the five things you need to know?
Yeah, brilliant. We can make it like the seven or eight things.
All right. Well, let's go for it. You start off then.
All right.
Go on. Take us away.
What's the right kind of guest?
I like this. He's contributing. Making a valuable contribution. All right, what's in the news that you want to talk about? Go on.
So the first thing, none of mine.
Our news this morning is brought to you by Robert.
Yeah. Of course, these stories are crap. We will tell you, and it'll be very bad.
That's fine. Then I would expect nothing less from you.
All right.
So the first one that I found pretty interesting was that Toto's Africa is set to play on loop for all eternity in the Namib Desert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a fan of the song has set up this really cool solar-powered speaker setup in the Namib Desert that's going to play the song for eternity, or unless
the what about the poor animals? Camels? They'll go nuts.
There are no camels in the Namib.
Oh,
it's not the Sahara.
No, but besides that, I can't even get my speakers to work for a couple of years, let alone for eternity. What kind of speakers is this guy buying?
Well, I'm not sure, but he's a German guy, a Namibian German guy. His name is Max Siedentopf.
Yeah, Max Siedentopf. Yeah.
He's behind the installation in the Namib Desert, which consists of six speakers attached to an MP3 featuring Africa and Africa only.
Hmm.
The multi-platinum selling soft rock classic released in 1982 has enjoyed something of a resurgence in the digital era, becoming one of the most streamed songs of 2017.
All right.
And so now it's going to live forever in the desert.
Mm. Well, I think that's a boring playlist if it's the same song over and over again, because even a good song gets very annoying the fifth time. I don't know if you've got Apple Music and you listen to... If you choose a song, if you're looking for a particular song and you don't have something to follow it immediately, it just plays that song in a loop and it drives you... Like, even if you love a song, after you've heard it more than five times, you don't want to hear it again. Mm-hmm. Not for a long time. And, I mean, there's music I love.
I would love to know what Toto think of this. They're like, oh, you dumbasses, stop playing that song.
I don't know. I think Toto are quite happy for it to keep playing.
Like, I think Toto would never have ever thought that this American band of very, very white-looking men created a song which is like an anthem for equally white-looking men in Africa. Let's be honest.
And that's exactly
Burger King were one of the first to do this. They played it in Camden, North London. They played the song all day after a Twitter campaign. And in Bristol, the song played for 12 hours straight to raise funds for charity. So this guy's gone and stepped it up because, you know, the Germans have to do everything properly.
It's a bit of a trend with that song then.
Yeah.
All right. I'll quickly tell you that the NSRI, that's the National Sea Rescue Institute, are warning people that there's a full moon spring tide coming. It's expected to last until the end of this week. The National Sea Rescue Institute has urged beachgoers on the coastline all over South Africa to be extra cautious. The tide is expected to be high and last for a whole week. It peaks in the early hours of Monday morning, and this will bring the normal, stronger currents. Public caution is advised. So if you go to swim in the sea, you need to be careful. Apparently a woman drowned on Sunday at Mnandi Beach in Mitchell's Plain. It's understood she was part of a group of nine who were visiting the beach for the day, so... Just be careful if you're going for a swim. You can never be too sure in the sea. In other news, IFP's Mangosuthu Buthelezi has announced that he will not seek re-election. Well, he's in his 90s. All right? He's a very old man, this. He's been part of our political landscape since H.F. Verwoerd's time. That's how long Mangosuthu Buthelezi's been around. 44 years as leader of the Inkatha Freedom Party. He's announced that his decision to not stand for re-election at the party's elective conference later this year is decided. The announcement comes less than 6 months before our historic election, they're calling it a historic election. The party says Buthelezi had already expressed a desire to step down over a decade ago, but was halted from making the move by the party's internal affairs. Because he's a bit of a rock star in the IFP. I mean, who else do you know in the IFP?
No.
Nobody really. Yeah? So there we go. There's some political news. What else have you got, Robert?
Well, you know, Patricia de Lille revealed her leadership party this weekend, but I'm not interested in that.
Good, neither are we.
Donald Trump has still got
the
government shut down.
You just said the
name. Donald Trump's still got his government shut down, but that's also not as important as the next story that I found.
What's that?
Apparently, it's actually not healthy to insert parsley into your vagina.
I've been doing it every day. What am I going
to
do?
So MoriClear UK apparently released an article talking about inserting parsley into the vagina as a way to initiate menstruation.
I thought it was to keep away the bad breath, like you do with garlic.
Who are these people who write these columns for women's magazines that are obsessed with terrible things that you shouldn't do to your vagina? Who are these people?
So MoriClear are the ones that said you must put the parsley
exactly,
in.
Exactly. That's my problem. Like, someone's going to shut these people down. Someone's going to hold these people to account.
Imagine your partner's fright when he goes in there and sees these growths of green things.
Wow, what a beautifully decorated plate. I mean, vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, the reason for its effectiveness, according to the article, was that it's supposedly an amenagogue. An amenagogue.
That's a good word. Yeah, I've never heard that one before.
An amenagogue, a substance that stimulates the menstrual flow.
Hmm.
However, numerous medical experts have advised against inserting parsley into the vagina, citing obvious health risks.
Yeah, I don't think
You end up with parsley in your vagina.
I would urge women not to insert anything into their vaginas unless they've taken proper medical advice, says
Thank you, Robert.
One of the doctors.
I thought you were saying.
Yeah, no, I don't have the medical qualifications to say such.
Well, please don't.
Don't
so MoriClear have obviously apologized, saying that they usually take every precaution and effort to make sure that their articles are well realized and they've been misguided and they are sorry.
Please don't read these magazines with peace and love. Stop it. These are the magazines that put all this pressure on women, too, to have multiple orgasms and to look as good as their cover stars. And I mean, I can't imagine why something like Cosmopolitan and Marie Claire are still in business.
Because it's like junk food for the mind. That's all it is.
Just very, very bad. Very bad. I think they've done more damage to women by making them unrealistic about their expectations than any amount of you know, sort of what you would call traditional chauvinism in
media. A lot of them have made big changes.
Have they?
Yes, definitely. More body positive or whatever parsley. It's called. And
yeah.
I really didn't know about that one.
All right.
Sure.
Well, here's a good story for you this morning. If you're feeling like you need another job, maybe you're not as creative as Robert here, who's busy starting an Instagram account. Jacob Zuma is looking for backup singers. You know, he's a full-time musical star now. For those who would like to sing and dance with the former president, this is your chance. Despite a chorus of protests from the people about the Itakwini municipality's recording deal with the former president, the project is still on track, and the auditions for backing vocalists are going to be held next month.
It's going to be like South African Idol.
Can we not? Might even be better.
Can we not just lock this guy in the counter? Every time he leaves, something bad happens. Can he just stay there and do his own thing? Now he wants to have
He is doing his own thing, Ben. He's starting a band.
No, but he's not starting. He's siphoning money from somewhere. This elaborate, he's singing a song. Wow, okay, it's a front for other shit.
Well, on that note of where the money's coming from, the municipality's head of parks, recreation and culture.
He is not culture.
Teminkwasi Ngcobo said that the project would continue as planned, but Zuma would not be paid. Ngcobo said that the recording deal formed part of the National Liberal Heritage Route Program, which aimed to collect and preserve the history of South Africans in the struggle. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. He's trying to find a way to explain why he was paying for this, right?
It's funny he says Zuma won't be paid, but the deal will be worth 20 million rand, I'm sure.
25 million rand.
There we go. So he's not getting paid. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. What are you doing? You're getting John Lennon to come out and musically score all of this.
And then he said this, and I mean, I'm so tired of hearing these hard luck stories and these stories of suffering from people who aren't suffering at all, like the former president who's got an entire homestead that's been paid for by you and me, and he's got a fire pool, and he's got a bunker underneath, and he's got security stuff that most of us in much more dangerous parts of South Africa, like the townships, don't ever have a hope of having. Fences and walls and security and people who are running around the perimeter the whole time checking the place out. He never went to school because black people were denied education back then, but he did not sit back, says this Ngcobo from the municipality. He decided he was going to fight the system, which led him to being arrested and eventually sent into exile. Well, it's all turned out all right for him because he became president.
Sorry, he said he couldn't get educated. So how is it that all his peers were so well educated? Because they kind of made an effort, right?
Well, there are people who were, Ben, and some who weren't.
Yeah, sure.
We don't know the exact details of why.
But to say that everyone was not educated.
No, that's not true.
I mean, again, this is like a sob story the guy's trying to play.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's the way. Anyway, people care about you in politics these days if you have some hard luck story. You've got to have been down and out. You've got to have been fiddled by your uncle. You've got to have some horrible story in your past in order to be taken seriously. That's just how it works now. It's the victim hierarchy. Anyway, so there's the former president. If you want to sing as his backup singer, then go on. The auditions next month in Durban. Just to quickly round this off, the president of Zimbabwe, I'm so sorry for him. He was enjoying his time in Europe. He's now got to cut that short to go and deal with a real problem in Zimbabwe. He announced that he will be heading back to the cash-strapped country in the light of the economic situation over there. He was busy with what he called a productive week of trade and investment meetings. Who's going to invest in your country when it's such a powder keg?
Yeah.
Tell me who these meetings
it's
were
not
with.
Not appealing.
Tell me what morons are going to invest in your country.
A great meeting with Louis Vuitton, the store just next to.
Yeah. President Emmerson Mnangagwa has cut short his trip of Europe. I'm so sorry that you had to cut short your little holiday. Anyway, so there we go. Politicians again doing stuff that you wouldn't entirely be surprised by. So that's all we've got in the news for this morning, but Ben's got lots of sport for us. We've got Robert hanging out with us this morning. He listens to the show. He started a brand new Instagram account, and he brought his coffee this morning. We thought we'd let him come and join us. And if you want to call, you can call us on 0861-555-189. Our phones are working, and I can answer them straight in the studio here. I don't need to have someone answer them for me. I just press the button. We tried it earlier, and it works. So, Ben, what have you got for us in the sport?
Pat Lambie has retired from rugby. Manny Pacquiao wants to fight Mayweather. And the Australian Open.
Sorry, Pat Lambie? Okay. Didn't even know he was still playing.
Yeah, only 28 years old, but Pat Lambie's decided to throw... call it a day. Sorry, so go with that phrase rather. Call it a day in rugby. Now, we all know he was playing fly off for the box where CJ Stander's hip hit him in the head. A couple of years ago now, and basically from then he's never been right. He got two more concussions post that, and let's be honest, if he doesn't call it a day now, he's probably be shitting in a bag the rest of his life. So he's taken the mature step to do that, and I mean, 28, the guy still has so much to give as a player, had so much to give as a player, but his last, off his last concussion, he had like a headache for 40 days. Can you imagine that?
That's horrendous.
40-day headache.
That's horrendous.
He hasn't been able to do any weight training for the last 3 months because he has headaches just flat out. So he said, you know, he's been describing like trembling legs, eye irritation, migraines, headaches, the whole deal. This poor guy, he's just gone through the most. And he's about to become a dad. And obviously he would love to keep playing because that's exactly what he does in rugby. Sorry, in life, he's a rugby player. So, but still, you know, you've got to make these mature decisions. I think... So a lot of people, like, if you look at Earl Rose, who's stealing golf clubs now because he's obviously cash-strapped. A lot of guys in rugby who aren't maybe in the financial position as Lambie have had to keep playing through such things like this. And I think that maybe concussion with Will Smith, you see in all kinds of sports. Some guys just can't make that stop.
Well,
they'll believe if they have one good day, they can then get through it. But no, this is something you can't mess around with.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of studies on the brains of American football players.
Yep.
And they've discovered that a lot of these guys have brain injuries, and, yep. and they become worse over time because if you know the brain is not one of those organs that does very well at repairing itself, and if you have a
especially
massive
not with
head,
a continued trauma, yeah.
Yeah, if you have a head trauma and you keep on making that worse by smashing your head into people, ultimately what ends up happening is you become a problem. You become a very, very bad physical specimen in terms of what your brain can and can't do.
Yep.
And people are starting to realize that these very brutal contact sports can have a prolonged, ugly effect on people. And of course, the sports themselves don't want to talk too much about this because, in truth, if you wear as much protective gear as you possibly can, it's not going to save you.
No. Well, you know? You see in the NFL, they wear helmets. Because they wear helmets, that's probably why they get the most head trauma, because they're actually leading with their heads. And it's just, I mean, I had a mild concussion last year because I walked into a camera and I was a mess for like a good 10 days. I wasn't quite the same. I had this dull pain. So Pat Lambie's been dealing with this for the last few years.
Poor guy. I hope he's going to be all right.
Rough. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, as you say, the brain isn't very good at repairing itself, but at least if he takes away the trauma and hopefully he can live a decent life where, yeah, maybe the next step is obviously taking some sort of job or doing something. I mean, he's a rugby player in SA. Supersport's always there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Manny Pacquiao, remember him?
Yes, of course.
Fantastic singer who also boxes a bit.
Sure, of course.
Well, he beat some absolute joker of the weekend. It was Broner, I think it was.
Yeah?
Adrian Broner. So he beat this jumped up potential talent anyway. So now he says, I'm now the champion. I want to fight Floyd Mayweather. So Mayweather's 41. Pacquiao is, I don't know. 38, 39.
Yeah.
It's all in the same kind of thing.
Does anyone care?
Well, I don't. Because when these two fought, it was the most boring, anticlimactic fight I've ever seen. This was a couple of years back. And this is when Mayweather then decided to quit. Mayweather, of course, as you know, is trying to beat up small Asian boys at the moment. So maybe Pacquiao, he's not quite the small Asian boy in the same kind of frame as the last one he beat up.
Yeah.
But it's in there. It's in the car park. So whether he will or he won't, it's obviously all about the money. All about the money. Now, when these two fought last time, tickets for the actual fight to be there and actually be there were as much as $350,000.
I remember. Everybody was trying to get those tickets.
Pay-per-view for American fans was $100.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, look, this is the whole thing about boxing. and entertainment and sport in general. They package this right, it will happen. And maybe this is Mayweather's plan all along. Maybe this is Pacquiao's plan all along. You know, he was obviously not that great as being a homophobic politician, mm-hmm. although he did give it a good go. The singing, obviously, he retired from as well. But maybe it's all about the boxing. Because he's come back and he's found his thing again, and obviously he loves doing this. And let's be honest, you know, this is another thing that we've got to admire about Pat Lambie, is that sports stars don't have a lot post this.
Yeah, they've got to make hay while the sun shines.
Tom Brady married Giselle. For many people, that is like the ultimate. He's still playing.
Sure.
He's like 50. He's still playing because these guys don't want to ever get away from the sport. So these two should maybe fight. It's probably the only way that Mayweather should fight again, because all these other things are making him look like a joke. And Pacquiao, well, he seems to be quite committed to this whole thing. So maybe it's a match made in boxing heaven.
Right.
Banyana played over the weekend, and unfortunately the crowd wasn't that great. There was talk about being like 20,000 people watching, and so many tickets were sold, and everything happened. Around 9,000 people ended up watching the game at the Cape Town Stadium. Now, if you've been to the Cape Town Stadium, 9,000 people, well, that's like having one person in the studio.
Yeah.
Anyway, Banyana try as they might. They managed they didn't manage to actually win. They were lost 2-1 to the Netherlands in the Winnie Madikizela Mandela International Challenge.
Wow, you couldn't even put Winnie's name to draw enough people in, huh?
Yeah. It's a bit sad, but then again, Cape Town.
No, I think it's also like women's football is just not as popular as football.
Well, obviously. But again, it's a start, and this is where we go forward.
So I know that there are gender activists who are currently tearing parsley out of their vaginas, but you've got to realize that nobody cares. Sorry. I mean, we make a fuss. The mainstream media will go on about, you know, banyana, oh, it's so exciting, this is so good. But most people, the average person in South Africa, doesn't care about your politics.
Anthea's just looking very confused about the parsley and the vagina thing.
No, it was a story from Marie Claire magazine.
We didn't just make it up.
Yeah, and apparently you must stop putting parsley in your vagina.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
In case you didn't know that.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my day.
Garlic breath.
It might change.
Exactly what I thought.
It might change your morning routine, but that's just how you got to look.
All right, but we digress, Ben. Back to you.
Yeah, CAF Champions League. That's where Sundowns generally plays because they're the best. They took on Wydad Casablanca. These thugs from Morocco,
yeah.
They rock up in Atrichville and they try to bully the ball boy, and they were spitting, and it was just general crap. So Pitso Matsumani, in a post-match interview, he told it as it is. Some guy from Wydad Casablanca was tormenting Pitso as he was actually there talking on Supersport.
Wow.
These guys are absolute thugs. So he said, look, you don't pull that shit here. You don't try to come to SA and try to bully us. We'll give it back to you. Sundowns did win the match 2-1, which means that their CAF Champions League hopes are still in their hands. But now they have to go to Casablanca at some stage, and it's going to be absolutely diabolical. It's people not able to behave. It's a dreadful, dreadful trait. It really is.
Right.
In other football of the English kind, Spurs managed a late winner against Fulham, so they won that one 2-1. Man City beat Huddersfield 3-0. The big result for the weekend, though, was Arsenal beating Chelsea. It was the only team that went my way this weekend. Huge result, that. And Liverpool, they beat Crystal Palace 4-3. So Liverpool stay on top, and Man City are still chasing. And the rest, they can try as they want. It's not going to make a big difference. Man United, they won again. So under Frodo, they can't seem to lose. They just can't lose. In cricket, Pakistan were playing SA in the first ODI in Port Elizabeth. And Pakistan won. They won by 5 wickets then, which is quite something. Now, it looks like a bit of a sticky wicket, which is always the case in PE. But the point is, they thought they had a good enough total in the 260s. They only lost 2 wickets, so they thought it was a tough pitch and they got a good enough score. Pakistan came out and they said, nope, the score is not good enough. We spit on the score and we will beat it. And they did. So tomorrow, people of Durban are not going to be watching the SA vs Pakistan game from 1 o'clock because no one watches live sport in Durban. Yeah, come at me. You guys have got a shit track record. You're lucky you get any sport whatsoever.
Worse than Banyana and Cape Town.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There'll be 2,000 people tops tomorrow, of which 1,500 will be corporate. I'm on the piss. Accommodation. Hospitality. Come on, Durbin. Pick it up. You really got to pick it up. And you got wonder why no one actually wants to go play any sport in your city. It's times like this. Tuesday, the 22nd of January. It starts at 1 o'clock. So it's a day-night match. You can get there at some stage or another. And yes, I give Durbin a hard time. But all from a good place. It's all from the kindness of my own heart. In the Aussie Open, the tennis is getting to that stage where you start finally really, really caring. Why? Well, it's because we're into the fourth round, the quarterfinals, the last round of 16, whatever they want to call it. In the women's, well, Halep is still in the mix. She's the number one seed. She'll be taking on Serena Williams tonight. Or today, tonight, 21st January. In Australia so far in the future, you never quite know what to say. Then Muguruza will be taking on Pliskova. That'll also be happening there. So the winner of those two matches will play each other in the quarterfinals. Osaka's already through, as is Svitolina. They'll play in the quarters together. Kvitova will take on Barty. Mm-hmm. And then Sloane Stephens, well, she was beaten by, wait for it, Pavlyuchenkova. Yep, she absolutely hammered
her. Great name.
Yeah, and then Collins. Ever heard of Collins?
No.
That's what Angelique Kerber said when she walked out into the court, but she lost 6-0, 6-2 to the American.
Huh.
Yeah. On to the men's. Well, shock, horror. Roger Federer, he lost. Yeah. He lost to a Greek guy called Tsitsipas.
I had that from a bra infection once.
Tsitsipas. Yeah, Tsitsipas. If you don't want, if you want to know more about Stefanos Tsitsipas, he goes on YouTube channel. He vlogs. This young Greek guy is like the future of tennis. Many people are saying,
but not with that name.
Tsitsipas says it. He watched a lot of Federer on YouTube to basically condition himself to one day getting to actually a stage where he can play him. And there he is. He beat him 6-7, 7-6, 7-5, 7-6. There's only one break point in the whole game, and Tsitsipas got it. So, on to the other side of that. He'll good now take on Roberto Bautista Agut, who beat that Andy Murray in the first round. Now, the winner of that will then take on the winner of Taillefer versus Nadal. And on the top side of the draw, we've got Djokovic taking on Medvedev. That'll be tonight as well. Karina Buster will take on Nishikora. And Zverev will take on Raonic. And Kartic will take on Puel from France.
God.
So, those are the people who are still involved in the French Open. Aussie Open. French Open for the next one, which Roger Federer is playing in, incidentally. Decided he's going to commit to that. And finally in the golf, Shane Lowry, he beat Richard Stoney in the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by the EGA.
All right.
A lot of words. But yeah, it was a fantastic final round, which ended on Saturday. Stoney at one stage had a 4-shot lead around the turn. Lowry could not hit a fairway. His driver was going all over the place. But the burly Irishman rallied back and managed to win. And with that, he wins over €1 million.
Huh.
Richard Stoney, despite the fact he went full Proteus in the back nine, he wins himself more than 10 million rand. 10 all million right. rand for coming second. Of course, it was a Rolex Series event, and that's why there's so many points and money involved. But on to the next next championship of the Abu Dhabi, sorry, the AEU.
Jesus.
And on that farm, he had a dog.
UAE section of the European Tour swing right now. Yeah. And that's your sport for today.
Thank you very much, Ben. Over to Anthea. Are you ready for this?
She works hard for the money.
Yes, she works hard for the money.
So hard for it, honey.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank
you. How's the economy doing?
Oh, okay. That's maybe not as well as I am.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's getting very difficult, eh? It's definitely an election year. There's a whole lot of politics moving the markets. I mean, because it's not really the shares that are changing. It's the politics that's making it all change. It's very worrying at the moment.
Politicians, they're like a... What do you call those things? A
plague.
Big ball that destroys a... like a wrecking ball.
A tsitsipas.
They're a tsitsipas to the economy. That's what they are.
Indeed.
Stupid politicians. All right, so let's just try for a moment to make sense of what's going on around us at the moment. And there's lots of talk around the Reserve Bank too, which we need to address at some point.
Okay, we definitely need to talk about the Reserve Bank. So first of all, it was MPC, Monetary Policy Committee, last week, and on Thursday they announced that they're leaving rates unchanged. But the great thing about it, or if you want to call it the great thing, is that the tone has become very dovish all of a sudden. So the last time Lesetscher and his team raised interest rates, and they sounded very hawkish. You know, they were going, you know, we need a margin of safety, plus the U.S. is raising interest rates, we need to keep up, we need to keep that purchasing parity well in check. And this time round, it was all very different. So suddenly, they're looking out for the economy. I suppose they've given themselves enough of a safe margin of safety, maybe, and that they are worried that the economy is not growing. I think that's basically it.
But that sounds like the prudent thing to do.
not raise interest rates.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we said the last time when they did raise interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So very difficult to say. But I think they've got it covered. What's interesting about it is that the Reserve Bank has now done something which the U.S. Reserve Bank or Central Bank does, and that's release what we call their dot plot, which is a whole lot of data on a graph, and it shows where the next interest rates, and the interest rates show, the dot plot showed that they were expecting a 0.25% interest rate hike in the next year, which seems very little. It seems quite very dovish.
What would you
basically
like to see happen with interest rates?
And
tell me why.
So I'm quite happy with what the SARB's done. I think they need to keep interest rates low, because higher interest rates are supposed to, in theory, stop people from spending, and then the economy doesn't grow. I want them to keep interest rates lower because I really want this economy to grow.
And let's be clear again, we've addressed this so many times whenever we talk about the Reserve Bank, but they've got one machine, they've got one button with which they can make things happen or not happen, and that's playing with interest rates. They don't really have a lot of other tools.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
As a result, we become, I suppose, almost completely obsessed with whether they're going to take them up or down. But that's really all they can do.
Yeah. And their mandate is to keep inflation in check, right? So theirs is inflation targeting. Now, no matter what you think about whether or not the economy grows and how the exchange rate changes, inflation really is the enemy of the people. It, if anything, and Zimbabwe is such a good example of this, is exactly the problem. When inflation goes too high, that's when the trouble in the economy starts, when people can't afford things, and we suffer.
All right.
And so this raising interest rates is also to keep inflation in check.
Okay.
So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because their mandate is not to grow the economy. It's to keep inflation in check.
Well, while we're talking about the intersection between politics and the economy, I heard Cyril Ramaphosa saying at the ANC conference that the challenges at Eskom were being handled. The word he used is handled. Are they?
How funny is that? Can I give you a couple of numbers, and then you
sure
tell me if they're being handled.
Okay.
At the end of September last year, Eskom sat with 419 billion rands worth of debt.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8.6% of our national GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Their free cash flow was annualizing at around negative 25 billion rand. So they didn't have cash. They did not have money. Yeah, so you tell me, are they handling the situation?
No.
I would say definitively not.
You probably have better luck with a school of preschool, nursery school kids throwing darts at a dartboard to make decisions about Eskom, and it would be run better.
And then, of course, you would have heard that also coming out of the ANC conference, they were talking about prescribed assets. So I don't know if you know what prescribed assets are. Basically, there's the government, the current government, ruling party, is saying that they want a part of the money that we manage as asset managers, your pension fund included, mostly your pension fund, to be allocated to supporting SOEs. Would you like me to invest your pension fund money in Eskom?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So
not unless I want to end up eating dog food one day.
When you retire, right? Yeah. So a lot of countries do actually have prescribed assets, and the concern is not that it's a bad mandate, but it's that we are worried about the politics and the corruption in our politics.
But what right does government have? They've already taken your tax. This is now what people have invested through hard saving and hard work. This is not their money. It's private money.
In a lot of countries, the SOEs are actually well run. And so they do actually make money, and they do pay decent yields on their bonds, and the share price increases significantly. And mostly we're talking about bonds here.
But
debt.
Let's be clear. Government have no claim on private assets. They can't decide what they're going to do with your money. Unacceptable. Do they understand what property rights are?
Well,
I'm not sure they do.
Of course they do, because they're trying to eradicate them.
All right, so that's a disastrous idea.
Yeah, so to be honest,
but then they're out of ideas because they don't have anything else to do. They have nowhere else to get money.
Yeah. I would say exactly.
It's like a bunch of ticks that have drained the body of the beast, and now they're going to go to the organs that don't even have blood and try to suck other stuff out.
And I'll be careful here as well, because in Zimbabwe what happened was that they started printing money. And when you start printing money, that's when your inflation goes, right? Because the value of your currency decreases or really just goes
falls
from,
out.
Yeah, that's absolutely shocking. The other concern, you know, there's been a constant worry. We were talking about Saab, is that the political parties and, I mean, there's so many of them at the moment, are saying that they want the Reserve Bank managed by kind of the state. And the Reserve Bank, although the governors...
Because the state's done so well managing SAA and Eskom and all these other things. So we really want more of them.
Yeah. So the Reserve Bank governors, we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, are appointed by the president, so they serve at the pleasure of the president, but they are completely independent. Their decisions are independent. So last week's decision not to raise interest rates. Yeah, that was good. Hmm. Independent. So it's all getting very exciting with the poly. Is anybody watching the Zondo Commission?
Yeah. What's now? Can you tell me who are? Someone asked me this question the other day, and I can't find the necessary information. Who is Basasa? What are they? What were they doing?
I didn't know either. I have no idea who they are. They're a private company run by Grant Watson, the Watson family, who was a rugby player, or somebody in that family was a famous rugby player.
Cheeky Watson, yes. Is he
that's
part
his
of his
family? Yes.
Well, then you know it's corrupt as all hell.
Okay, so what happened?
And so there's a guy, the
CEO. What company are they? What do they do?
They do security. They do catering. They've got their fingers in many pies. Mm. So their COO is obviously testifying at the Zondo Commission. And what completely intrigues me is that he was saying they had to have between 4 and 6 million rand in cash every month to pay bribes.
Huh.
He's got a list of 80 names, which he's revealing. So I think he started revealing them. So I didn't get to the papers yesterday, but I did see a headline saying Dudumieni was one of them. Surprise!
Sure, of course.
And
everyone on that list should immediately be put in prison.
Mm-hmm. Jacob Zuma apparently was getting 300,000 rand a month from them in cash.
Wow.
Do you know what that looks like? Wow. That's a huge bag of cash. I want to know, how are they generating 6 million rand a month in cash?
Well, it's laundering.
I don't carry cash
anymore. Laundering government money.
But where, like, is there even 6 million rand of cash in the system? Okay, I'm being facetious. Obviously there is, but...
Sure,
like,
if you have to pay politicians to make things happen, you find a way.
A lot of money.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's all very exciting.
That's horrendous.
Yeah, you couldn't make this stuff up if you tried.
Well, all right. There we go. So that's what the Basasa thing is. So let's just talk quickly about some company news, because we don't want to go on too long this morning. But the company news is that retailers gave trading updates in complete contradiction of what Stats SA retail sales numbers have been.
Right. So the last time we spoke about retail sales number from Stats SA, it was October. I think it was October. And that was 2.2%. And I was telling you that did not include Black Friday. Right. Mm-hmm. Last week, they put out November retail sales numbers increased by 3.2%.
So is phenomenal. Is this good news?
Well, the consumer spending, right?
Yeah.
So you would expect everything to be okay. And I was actually looking at that number thinking, we're fine. South African economy is going to be okay. The consumer spending will be fine. But then Mr. Price, Truworths, Woolworths, all reported last week, shocking, absolutely horrendous. Foschini was probably a bit of the outlier, so they had decent same-store sales growth for December. But the others, I couldn't actually believe it. You saw shares in retailers falling by like 8% on the day. It was horrendous. And you know, I've always said that Mr. Price is priced to perfection. Like it's quite an expensive share, because they've had one or two blips in the past where they got the fashion wrong or their buying was wrong, but mostly they've done okay and they bounce back quite quickly. But after last week, I think there's a real concern about what's going on, and that probably would have given the Reserve Bank some direction about not raising interest rates as well, because clearly the consumer is feeling it.
By the way, if you want to trade, and if you'd shorted those retail shares, you would have made a lot of money. If you want to trade and you want to try your hand at this, maybe you're an amateur trader of a kind, and maybe you've been doing this for a little while, maybe you're really, really good. You want to prove to everyone you're good. Well, we've got a competition on the go with Easy Equities just for a few more days until the end of January. And you can take part by going to cliffcentral.com, find the Money Shot page, and it's right there for you to join in. And there's still a couple of days of trading. What, a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah, a week and a half.
Get in and take a chance. See what you can do. If you win, you'll get 5,000 Rand in cash in a portfolio of your choice so that you can carry on making money off the stock market. And you'd have to prove that you're pretty smart to start off. And you can get 50 Rand for free just to start. And if you want to throw in some of your own money and see how it goes, it's quite a fun way to play with what's going on in the economy at large and what in particular is going on in certain sectors like retail we just addressed a moment ago.
And this week we've got mining production coming out. So yeah, I think Anglo should do quite well. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but sure. I suspect they would do well this
week.
Well,
so far your tips haven't been at all wrong. I just want to throw in one quick last thing about Theresa May and how the hell did her government survive a vote of no confidence?
Actually, I'm going to pose that question to you. You probably know more about this than I do. I have no idea. Like, the numbers are crazy. How she lost the vote by, what was it, 230 votes?
Well, it's because, first of all, Jeremy Corbyn is so much worse an option.
The lesser of two evils.
Absolutely. That you'd rather have Theresa May with all of her limbs cut off than Jeremy Corbyn in complete health. That's how bad he is.
A Theresa May that can't dance. There's no Theresa May at all.
And people would rather have that. And also, the danger is that if you get rid of Theresa May, you end up with someone who's either far more to the Brexit right or far more to the Remain left, and you end up with problems in the Conservative Party. So they're really protecting themselves.
And they've basically got less than 70 days now, right, to Brexit.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Very exciting.
I hear people saying it's going to be absolutely fine, and I believe that's...
Do you know what was really intriguing was when she lost the vote, I think it was Tuesday night, we were watching, obviously, the markets, and the pound traded fell significantly. By the next morning when I woke up, the pound was trading above, or stronger than where it had before the vote. It really confused me.
The market knows better.
There we go.
So don't worry about the politicians. The market is the thing that you should be paying attention to. That's why we have Anthea in here every Monday. And thank you for joining us this morning, Anthea.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Go to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com for more. When we come back, we'll hit some news. We'll talk about some of the things going on in society. We've got some guests popping by. And we'll take your calls, 0861-555-189. If you want to tell us what's up, tell us what's going on in your life and what you did this weekend. You know what to do.
This is cliffcentral.com.